B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb,
bomb. Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Forgive me.
Taco gets into the game. They're going crazy in the stands. He's captivated the fans already. Follow up, gets him two, and the Tacos going wacko. And there's a blocko by Taco.
You want to know why he called himself the squirrel? Because he is a squirrel. He's furry. Whenever he gets a chance, he gets that nut.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios. You can give us a call at 617-779-0985, and we'll get into the travesty that is the NFL later. Again, I don't know if it's the market that they're not particularly caring, they don't care about, or they want to prop Aaron Rodgers up, but last night was an absolute fiasco of a game. Tony Dungy said so. Barry Sanders coming out of nowhere and saying so. I mean, just inexcusable officiating last night.
I need to find out whether or not the referees had their time with the press. You know, like sometimes after these games, if there's like highly controversial calls, you'll have like the pool report and,
yeah,
and the refs will speak. There had to have been a situation yesterday where somebody spoke on it.
I didn't see it.
I mean, because that's...
Well, one of them did a Lambo leap.
One of the what?
Officials. He just jumped into the crowd after a touchdown.
Yeah, I that's another game last night where and there's apparently been a bunch this season where the refs have completely ruined everything, but last night was...
I don't know about that. But, not like this.
Well, I mean, last night was just spectacular.
There was four,
in two occasions.
There were four.
Well, two egregious occasions.
Three egregious, one not good, and then they didn't call a pass interference. That was a complete pass interference.
Yeah. The two hands to the face penalties on Trey Flowers were ridiculous.
I read that Trey Flowers had never been penalized.
Well, he's one of the least penalized players at that position. Now, that's one thing that is true.
I read that
never,
he...
I'd have to like...
Look at it. It doesn't sound right, but I read that he had never been penalized.
And then the no call on a pass interference was ridiculous. For some reason, that wasn't challenged. The only one that was...
Because I wouldn't challenge a pass interference now
either.
I know,
because unless it's incredibly bad, they won't call it. And
I think they've overturned one of like 15 or something ridiculous.
There was only one call, and Fred and I were talking about this right before we came on the air. There was only one call that technically the refs might have gotten right, and that was the head-to-head hit on the play where Allison got hurt. And tactically, in real time, it looked like he hit him, even though the intent wasn't there because he went low. I mean, that technically looked like a head-to-head hit, and in that case, it's out of the official's hands. They have to call it, and that play's not reviewable. But the other three were awful.
Yeah,
I mean, just blatantly bad. Terrible call. The referee, Cleek Blakeman, has been around a while. He's been a ref for, I guess, over a decade, right? I mean, this isn't
a new guy. I'm not convinced these guys don't have money on games.
Oh, Lord, those were big calls.
I mean, Joe Murray seems to think so. I mean, he bets sometimes based on the officiating.
The wrangle.
Or the wrangle. It's the ref angle.
Yeah, it's the wrangle.
Yeah
fade or foul, GL.
That's usually more of an NBA thing. But with the NFL, I mean, but Fred, to your point, and this is kind of, I'm sure, where you're going to eventually be going with this, is that it always seems to happen to the Lions.
Oh, yeah.
The Lions just seem to get screwed than almost any team.
I guess that it's the market they don't care about the most. They just don't care. They like Jacksonville better. They like, you know, all these better. So there you go. There you have it. Yeah, go do a Lambo leap. You're a kicker.
That was ridiculous, by the way. Congratulations. You made it. Good for you. They'll walk off the field.
Yeah.
No kicker should be leaping into the crowd at any time.
Adam Schefter tried a Lambeau leap before the game. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, tweeted that out. Oh, my Achilles is intact. Yes, I did. I saw that.
Adam Schefter. How many boxes did he have to jump?
Well, about three trampolines.
He barely made it. He jumped up and then had, you know, when a child is trying to climb over a short wall and is like 5 years old and like gets only his up to his armpits and then he has to kind of, you know, the feet are running in place on the wall to try and get him over. That's what it was like.
Because Schefter is about three apples high.
Yes.
When you meet Schefter, because like if you see Clayton, you go, all right, yeah, you know, you expect Clayton to be small, but yeah. Schefter's always rocking like Gordon Gekko suits and got his hair like greased back, and so you go, oh yeah, and then you see him, and you're like, dear Lord, you're 5'4".
How tall is John Clayton? For some reason, when I met John Clayton, I didn't think of him as being short.
No, he wasn't like short, but he's not, you know, a powerful man. I mean, he's diminutive. I mean, yeah. you saw that.
Yeah.
But Adam Schefter, you know, he's like captain, you know, business, captain, head of industry. And then you see him and you're like, dear Lord. And then when you see him, you know he's got like giant like heels on, like those dress shoes.
Lifts.
He's got lifts and then he's got the giant heels on like his dress shoes. Like he's walking around in dress shoes.
It's like a guy from Kiss.
Yeah. So if you take that away, I wouldn't be surprised if he's 5 feet four.
He's probably 5'4".
Who's taller, him or Rosenthal? That's a good
guy. I think Rosenthal.
Rosenthal is 5'3". I've seen him at the baseball playoffs. That's also startling.
See, I've met Ken Rosenthal. He was sitting down, so I don't know.
No.
I saw him at that restaurant with John Smoltz at one time.
It's a little different.
And I actually went up to him. I told him, thanks for making fun of Johnny Gomes.
Right.
And then everyone at the table laughed.
That's he killed. He killed at the table.
I'll never make fun of Ken Rosenthal after he did that. Johnny Gomes. That was like the ultimate redeeming moment.
Yep.
All right. So Rich was out yesterday. He had to make an emergency. He had to pull the cord about
5:45.
About 15 minutes before the show.
I just said, dude, I my stomach's killing me. I can't do it. And so I went home and I you know, sometimes when you sleep most of the day, like it's tough to going to bed at night. There was none of that. Like yesterday was just a wrinkle in time. I just don't even know what happened to yesterday. I slept the entire day and I still feel like, you know, I'm still dragging ass, but it was weird. I heard Joe Murray showed up and talked a lot of weed, talked a lot of gambling,
mm-hmm.
which is always the Joe Murray experience.
Not a lot of weed. It was more of a mushroom thing yesterday.
He switched it up.
Yeah, he was. Listen, it was President's Day. There was not a lot of people listening. He didn't bust out the great stuff. He didn't break out the great stuff yesterday. He kind of put it in your pocket.
I know he was a mushrooms guy.
No, I mean, if you smoke that amount of weed, chances are that you have taken mushrooms, but he claims not to have taken them in a very long time.
Okay.
So, that is his stance. But...
What state is it that just legalized mushrooms?
Was it Colorado?
I was just going to say, that's the
favorite. Colorado, that just like legalized mushrooms.
Well,
you know, the whole thing about weed, fine, whatever. But I mean, to legalize mushrooms, that's pretty insane.
I don't know. If it comes out of I'm not being a hippie, but if it comes out of the ground, I mean, if it grows, I don't know how you, and it doesn't have to be manufactured. Like you can pick it out of the ground and eat them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you gotta want to dry them out first, but I mean, I don't know. It's so funny to me. Like if you're in a field picking mushrooms, they can arrest you. I'm in a field picking things off the ground. I don't have a problem with that. Because it's natural.
It's two cities, Denver and Oakland?
Oh, boy.
Oakland, Oaktown. California?
Yeah, Oaktown, baby.
Right. They decriminalized magic mushrooms. Wow.
Well, that's because the Humpty Dance, the Humpty Hump, it was the... mayor, and he demands to have mushrooms all the time.
Really? How did we get to that point? So Humpty Hump is the mayor of Oakland.
They're from Oakland.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I see. I didn't know
that. Digital Underground are from Oakland.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Well, I just knew that Tupac used to dance for them.
Finally. Yes, I remember that too.
Finally, Mr. Cooper decided to make them legal. Hanging with Mr. Cooper, set in Oakland, California, if you didn't know.
I had heard that the Fresh Prince wants a spinoff. like Will Smith is talking about there being a spinoff to The Fresh Prince.
It should be called Hit in the Face.
I think it's supposed to be like Will Smith's kid or whatever.
And just what that kid needs, another acting role.
A kid who's not from Philly, yet. You see, what's the twist on that one? If he was raised in Bel Air,
the twist there, is
would
that
he go back to Philly?
Yeah, it would make
the twist
sense.
Is even worse than The Fresh Prince, which is a terrible show. Cameron, go ahead.
How you doing, brother? You can't just pick any mushroom off the ground.
No, you pick them under crap.
Right. Yeah, but it's going to be like there's a specific feed that they're feeding cows that when they flip the patties, the mushrooms there.
So no, I understand that, but you're still
okay.
You're still picking up mushrooms off the ground, though.
Technically, yeah. I know. I got what you're saying. I thought that you meant like picking them from the dirt directly or off a tree or something. You know, I was like, whoa, hold on a second.
No, you got it.
Not to kill somebody on that one.
No, they're disgusting. Mushrooms are absolutely disgusting in that they grow underneath feces, but I just think it's funny that you can arrest someone for basically farming.
There's a guy who delivers mushrooms to all the restaurants near where I am. It's like he's like the mushroom man, and he looks exactly like what you would imagine the mushroom man to look like. I mean, it's like Tommy Chong about 20 years later. Like, he should be like walking with a cane and casting spells.
Well, if he's growing mushrooms, that's you're like in that damp darkness and ugh. I can't think of anything I'd like less than the Shroomaroonies.
Being the mushroom man.
Well, listen, if you want to make a... Everyone needs the mushrooms. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
All right, let's get to that Bruins game where Pasternak just absolutely destroyed. And LeBron James finally speaks on China and probably wishes he didn't.
All right, so we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Damn it, I want to be a part of this thing.
On the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Sports Up, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, it was a Columbus Day Bruins win that came with 4 helpings of
pasta.
High slot, here's Crew. Wrist far circle, Marchand shoots, deflected, they score! That's a far spot for David Pastrnak. He directs it home right through the blue paint. 4-1 Bruins, a power play goal.
And for the first time in his 6-year career, David Pastrnak scores 4 in the Bruins 4-2 win over Anaheim yesterday.
Yo, what's up, guys?
That's right.
Tomatoes.
That's what's up. Pasta and tomatoes. I guess tomatoes is when you score 4 goals. Is that what we're calling
That's
it?
That's what we'll call it from now on.
It's a tomato?
Tomato.
It's a tomato.
You get a hat trick, and then the next one's the tomatoes.
I like that. Pelt the ice with tomatoes.
Sure, why not?
That'd be awesome.
I mean, it's... You
delay
might
the game.
Well.
Yeah, you delay the game for about 20 minutes.
It's going to be so rare that, sure, just sneak in the tomatoes.
Yeah. Oh, boy! Pastrnak's done it.
Tomatoes.
Ice is littered.
Well, he is one of only 7 players in the league that have 10 points already, and he and his line have been an absolute wagon, and there'd be no pasta without this guy.
Camper's out of the box. He's going to hustle off and change. Given away. Bruins left circle. Marchand centered. Fired. They score! Marchand at the right time swipes a puck, fed it rink wide left to right. David Pastrnak fires in his 2nd of the day. 2-0 Bruins.
Brad Marchand has also come out of the box hot with 2 assists yesterday. He has 9 points in 6 games. Did you guys see, and I don't know what the name of the rookie was yesterday, who he like checked into the side, and then the rookie went after Brad Marchand, and Brad does that quick little duck right under his arm.
I don't think he could have missed that yesterday. That was popping all over the internet. Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, he gets he checks a kid into the Bruins bench area, and then the guy comes back at him. And Marchand just ducks and goes right into the bench.
I mean, that was like, you know, split-second timing in order to make that move work. Well, one bit of bad news, however, David Krejci left the game after about seven shifts yesterday. So with 8 minutes left in the first period, Krejci took that cross-check to the right arm, later an elbow to the right side. And here is Cassidy on Krejci's condition.
Well, I haven't got – obviously he left. He tried to play through it, didn't come back. We'll see how he is. Tomorrow's an off day, so Wednesday we'll have a better idea. And hopefully Krejci is good to go on Thursday against Tampa.
Never good news when David Krejci has to leave game.
They're 5-1. Bergeron is clearly not himself yet, and Krejci has given them nothing. I mean, he got hurt during the preseason, and six games in, he's hurt again, and they're still 5-1. That's incredible. I mean,
and they're still top heavy.
Yeah, they're still top heavy. They're not getting much from, you know, much scoring from the bottom six, and they're still 5-1. Yeah. And remember Pastrnak, how the hot start he got off to last year too. I think he scored 17 goals in 18 games to start the season last year. I think he had 11 in October.
He did. Yeah, 11 goals in October.
I mean, he's 23, and the Bruins got him 25th in the first round. That's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it helps. His line mates definitely help. But here is David Pastrnak, Mr. Four Goals, who was feeling it yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's obviously nice. You know, that's what I'm getting paid for. And obviously, good for a confident, you know, get some goals. And obviously, overall, it's you know, with my line is a good couple of plays and nice passes from them. So, you know, we're all good. 2 points for us to the standings.
After that ghost tripping penalty that he got, Joe Haggerty actually did something funny. As apparently he asked him, he said, "Hey, did you ask the ref if he missed his voice? Checked his voice.
Hey, ref, check your voicemail. We missed some calls."
Pastrnak just kind of laughed and went, "Yeah, you missed some calls." And
yeah, David, I think he played a really good game yesterday.
David. I mean, Brady is...
I was looking for the tomatoes thing.
No.
Oh, I don't have it. The thanks? Yeah. I got to find that.
All right. I was going
to
say.
What were you saying to him?
Hey, did you play? You played a really good game yesterday.
Thanks.
We haven't busted that one out in a while.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
So, Patrice, what about your line?
Turn off ESPN.
Why?
Because nothing good happened last night.
Oh, you keep showing the replays of that thing?
That's a good point. Yeah,
that was pretty awful.
From your point of view, yes.
Here's Patrice Bergeron on his line and the success they've had this season.
Yeah, I think we always talk about simplifying our game, especially early on. And, you know, when we're kind of north-south and we keep the play simple and bring it to the net, I think that's when you kind of establish some momentum and lines can roll one after another. I think we kind of got caught in second, getting away from that, and they got the best of us. So I think going back to that and kind of keeping that for 16 minutes is probably the best scenario.
Thanks.
You're welcome. By the way, you went to the game Saturday night. How were the seats?
I've told the story is that I took some spin class with my wife at 9 a.m. and then I had stuff with the kids all day, and then I hadn't been drinking and I started drinking, so I only stayed for like a period and a third. So my seats seem fine. Only that there's no place to put your beer.
That's the one thing that they gotten rid of is those cup holders were fantastic. And
and now that I'll tell you the one problem is that I'm 6'2" and I didn't have a big problem with like the room, but if you have like a beer and peanuts, there you have to put the beer kind of like under your seat, and if you're eating peanuts, it all falls in your beer.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. And I know that it's funny because Nick went out and recorded some stuff, which we'll play a little bit at 8 o'clock. But some of the ones we won't even play, like most of the people were saying that it's not as big of a deal as people are making it out to be, the seats. They say the seats are pretty comfortable. He said the only thing that stinks, and this is how I remembered it even with the old seats, was that if the person to your left or your right has to get out, I mean, you have to get up and you have to move. You know, it's not like you can just sit there and they can, you know, squeeze in between your legs and the seat beforehand. You always had to stand up.
Yeah, the worst I would say is no cup holder, because then if you're eating and drinking, it's difficult. Because I didn't even have a beer. My beer got so loaded with peanut crap that I didn't even drink a beer while I was there.
Yeah, well, next game is a big one for the Bruins. Lightning come to town Thursday night. Puck drops at 7 p.m. You can hear it right here on 98.5 of Sports Hub. So, yesterday, Tom Brady.
I wish you good luck, Pastrnak, in that game.
Thanks.
You're welcome there, Pastrnak. So Tom Brady sat down with his best buddy Jim Gray once again, and he was asked about the recent comments by RKK about Rob Gronkowski's retirement papers not being filed and whether he would lobby to get Gronk back? Or I think that was the question that Jim Gray asked here.
Does anybody ever try and push you into an area where you don't want to go, or try and lobby and push you to do something?
Except for myself.
And you go along with it?
In what
get in
sense?
This area.
In life, in any sense. Maybe G wants to do something you don't want to do. Maybe a teammate wants to do something.
Wait a second. Stop it. Stop it.
Did he call
you
G?
Are the worst. Go F yourself, you piece of garbage. Oh,
he called Giselle G.
Oh my God! Oh, you suck, G. Oh, you puny little piece of garbage. Ugh. Why do you even say? Ugh, ew. Oh, I hate you so much.
Oh, that is really
bad.
Oh, G. Oh, I know Tom.
Right.
Oprah knows Tom.
Oh, you're the worst.
Stedman knows Tom. Oprah knows my wife. We're all friends.
Oh, gee.
So why not have a dinner?
No
so
one knows you. Was. It almost sounds like he wants Brady to say if he regretted them having sex or not. Did anyone force you into an area you didn't want to go?
Yeah, like I'm trying to figure out what, and I know he's trying to lead towards the Rob Gronkowski thing, but this is the worst way to do it. Like, what is he talking?
I think he's trying to be clandestine that they don't know the questions that are coming. Gee. Ugh.
Does anybody ever try and push you into an area where you don't want to go, or try and lobby and push you to do something and you go along with it?
In what sense?
In life, in any sense. Maybe G wants to do something you don't want to do. Maybe a teammate wants to do something you don't want to do. Just anywhere.
Yeah, that happens from time to time.
So this morning you said that you really didn't want to try and lobby Gronk. And it kind of just raises the question is why not? If he's leaving the door open, why not talk to him about it?
Well, that's a good question. But, you know, again, I think when people make those decisions that are really life-altering decisions, career changes and so forth, I mean, they're doing that, you know, with a lot of times pretty strong fortitude. So it's not really my place to try to speak to them and what changes they want to make on their life on my behalf. So if they want to make them, they should be on their behalf. You know, I make the choice to play. A lot of my teammates who are currently on the team, they're making the choice to play. Other people aren't playing, and that's their choice.
I don't even know what just happened there.
I don't know. It was a really stupid question. But I wonder if G, just anywhere in life, oh, you suck. Because you knew it was about Gronkowski. What the hell did you lead with that? You know why he led with that, that son of a bitch? Is he led with that so he could say G.
So he could throw that in there.
No, that's
and
entire.
He's that familiar.
I'm not lying. All he had to say was, did anyone ask you to whatever for Gronk? And then instead he goes, in life, in anything. No, Jim, no one's asked me to do something I don't want to do, ever. What a question that is. Has anyone ever asked you to do something you don't want to do? No, I want to do everything. No one asked me to do anything. Like, you know, even if it's something like, can you sign a bunch of balls that I know I have to do? You don't want to do it. Stupid. G. Oh, you're gross. And shame on Brady for hanging out with that pile of garbage. I mean, why the hell would Brady spend any time with Jim Gray?
And I know Tom.
Right.
Oprah knows Tom.
That's why.
Stedman knows Tom.
I know G.
Oprah knows my wife. Mm-hmm. We're all friends. So why not have a dinner?
Who the hell's his wife?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I'll tell you what, look for the woman who hasn't been satisfied sexually in the last 20 years.
That's a shirt we should have. It says that. I know, Tom.
Put that right on the back.
If Jim Gray doesn't have a micro penis, I don't know who would. I mean,
that's another shirt.
Yeah. Listen, I'm no John Holmes, but I'll tell you this. Yeah. That's a micro. Does he have kids? Is he capable? He does not have kids. I wonder if that's due to his small penis. Ew, Jim Gray.
Oh, that was like needles. Hearing him call her G.
G. Puke. Douche chills everywhere.
Ugh.
G.
Well, when we get back, we will have a little more of Jim Gray with Tom Brady, because apparently this whole Ben Watson news is taking Brady by surprise. And we will also get to this LeBron James thing, because this morning he has any kind of goodwill that he has built up in the community for speaking his mind and being an advocate for free speech just went out the window last night.
You mean L?
LB.
LB?
LeBron.
He didn't even say GB. He just said G. So just go L. Because Giselle, those two syllables are so tough to get out of your mouth. G. Ugh. What the hell is he friends with that guy for? I don't know. They're all weird. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is where Boston talks sports. Toucher and Rich, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Does anybody ever try and push you into an area where you don't want to go, or try and lobby and push you to do something and you go along with it?
In what sense?
In life, in any sense. Maybe G wants to do something you don't want to do. Maybe.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Jim Gray, who refers to Gisele Bündchen as G. And I'm convinced he set up that question in such an odd way just so he could say G.
And I think Tom Brady truly was confused because it was off the script.
Well, yeah, because
he had a little secret sauce to this.
He just wanted to say G.
That's right. I want to listen. This is how familiar we are. We just use first. We just use initials. That's
like, you know, when people jump off the diving board with their hands and their arms together.
Mm-hmm.
Would you think someone threw a dildo in the pool?
Sure.
Like a bulbous head with like a. Gee, that's the worst thing he's ever done.
That is pretty bad. I don't know. The worst thing he's ever done, I think, was during our interview. That was probably the worst.
I don't know. I mean, he was
during
bad.
And afterwards. During and afterwards, you know, I would say that would be
very intimidating.
Well, he continued.
59-year-old man.
His fantastic interview with Tom Brady, where yesterday there was a report that the Patriots were expected to re-sign Ben Watson, but Brady says he doesn't know anything about that.
I don't know if that's true or not. I haven't heard anything. So, you know, I'm kind of proceeding as usual. I don't know what the status of, you know, those positions are. Again, you know, it's a lot of moving parts this time of year, and there's a lot of workouts that are taking place. New players coming in and working out for our team, working out for every team.
Well, there you go. But a tweet came out this morning at 5:45.
Fascinating answer.
Although this is, I found that somewhat fascinating because it was pretty much a done deal. Everyone was saying Ben Watson was going to be re-signed.
But he's not going to comment on that because he makes it very clear that he's not involved in personnel decisions.
Sure, but this is kind of interesting. At 5:45 this morning, Ian Rappaport tweeted out, quote, the Patriots are making a move to bolster their tight end position, signing former Giants and Jets tight end Eric Tomlinson to their 53-man roster, the source said. Knee injury to Matt LaCoste left them a little short. So this is not official yet, right? The Ben Watson thing, I looked all over and I think...
Not official. That, yeah. Only one roster spot seems to be open after putting Jakob Johnson on injured reserve, so... That is interesting. In Russia, injured reserve puts you on.
That is the Jakob joke. That's right. Mm-hmm. Jakob Smirnoff.
And it's a home run every time.
Well, this Monday night, it's like Brady versus Manning all over again. Number 12 versus Sammy D. Fresh off his dominant win over the Dallas Cowboys. The spread as of right now, Patriots by 10. Fred, you must have enjoyed that game immensely.
I was shocked. I was at a someplace watching it, and I was only intending to watch like the first half of the first quarter, and then I went, dear Lord, what's going on?
Yeah.
And so I watched I actually watched the entire game.
He looked really good, but then again, the Dallas Cowboys have just been, I mean, the last three games, they've looked awful.
But you didn't think the Cowboys were going to lose that game?
No way! Hell no, I didn't.
See, I did. I actually...
Before they played?
Yeah, I actually sent an email to Lifshatz like 3 minutes into the game or something saying, I wish I would have bet on this. Because I like them to win.
Now, what did you see or what did you know that made you think that was the case?
Just the
return of Sam Darnold?
No, well, that's a huge part of it. But I thought that would energize the team. And also, they were missing the right tackle and the left tackle, the Dallas. And I thought that Greg Williams had been pretty good with their defense, even though they're lacking talent at some positions. And I just thought that they would win that game. So
I wonder if Dak Prescott's kicking himself for not signing that contract they offered him during the offseason. Were they going to give him $30 million?
He seems hurt every time he got hit, and they hit him a lot, and they hit him hard. He seemed like foggy, like he kept shaking his head,
not like, you know, in a pissed off way. He kept shaking it to kind of like, it seemed like get the clouds out. So I'm wondering if he's got something going on.
Well, the updated NFL MVP odds at Caesars Sportsbook. It used to be Patrick Mahomes. He has dropped down a little bit. He is now in second with a plus 250. Number one, Russell Wilson. Number one in the lead for MVP.
It was on this station, I think, or it was a national station where someone was... It was this station. I think it was Jim Murray who made the point that Quentin Nelson...
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man? Who's amazing.
Yeah, it's that, you know...
Offensive lineman
like,
for
I wonder
the Colts.
If he would get an MVP vote. Like, just one. I mean, he's not going to win the MVP. But apparently he's been so dominant, I wouldn't know.
There's all these videos that come out once a week of him just mangling guys.
But that's the thing. Defensive line, like Aaron Donald, for example, it's really easy to watch him and go, wow.
Yeah.
But an offensive lineman, by your nature, unless you run block, which is a lost art in today's NFL, you're on the defensive. You're backing up. So how can you tell how dominant you are?
Well, I mean, you could pull and you could see him downfield making blocks. I mean, come on, John. You gotta study the game. No, I don't know.
That's on me, Fred.
I haven't watched the Colts a ton.
But, I mean, yeah, obviously you look at it. When you do look at offensive line play, which most really have no need to, you know, yeah, he mangles guys. He's certainly worth the draft pick they spent on him. But an MVP vote, I mean, I don't know how you can tell.
No, hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
I know, and you get one of those guys from, like, Pro Football Focus that watch every player on every play. I'm with
all
you.
All they keep telling me and all they've told me is how damn good you are.
On Monday Night Football, they have the grades, you know, when the people introduce themselves and you say, you know, eighth out of 156 via Pro Football Focus.
Right.
Again, imagine being that guy. You have to rank 156 offensive linemen or whatever it is. And, oh, this guy's eighth. Really? I mean, it's 5.2. Well, what does that mean exactly?
Well, can you imagine how insanely boring it would be to sit and watch all 22 and have to review the play every single time to watch every single person that's on the field.
Oh, what a pain in the ass.
Here's your internship, kid.
I don't care how much you like football. I don't care if like you live in... That would be so intolerably boring. It would be like editing the phone book. It would just be awful.
All right, Fred, let's get to it.
Here's 3rd and 4 with Rodgers. Calmly retreating, looking for something. Flag is down as he throws to the end zone. Incomplete.
Illegal use of hands. Hands to the face. Defense. Number 90. 5 yard penalty from the previous spot. First down, Green Bay.
And that's a dagger for Matt Patricia and company.
Let's take a look at number 90, Trey Flowers, and see if this is indeed illegal hands to the face.
Can't really see it from that angle.
It's going to come late. Here it comes. Towards there it is. Coming there.
But again, where?
That's there's on the left shoulder once again. On the left shoulder.
Is Bakhtiari selling that by arching back his head?
But again, that is a terrible call. That's twice on Trey Flowers in crucial situations that the refs have blown the call.
Screwed, 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 as well as the pass interference that you were talking about, which led to, of course, the Packers ended up winning it with one of the...
Along this summer and now to play hero again. And there it is. Walk it off and win it for Mason Crosby.
Which led to Mason Crosby doing a Lambeau leap there at the end.
Yes,
so
he went right into the crowd like a big hero.
Well, Matt Patricia obviously was very upset with what happened, and let's get to his comments first about the penalties, which, so you guys say 4. You know what? I'll give you 3 that I think that
so
you're
saying.
On.
3. Okay. The fourth one technically was right, but it's still bad.
I'll say 4 bad calls, and they didn't call the pass interference, so there was 5.
See, I'm using the pass interference as one of them. So I've got the no PI on Green Bay and the 2 phantom calls, hands to the face from Trey Flowers. Those are the 3 that I will call.
And if you're a Lions fan, I can see how you could argue the helmet-to-helmet hit because the intent wasn't there. He went low to go play the ball, and technically he hit Allison in the head, and it looked really bad because Allison looked like he got knocked out there for a second. But by the letter of the law, I think the refs got that one right.
Here's Matt Patricia.
I think we all know we can't have those penalties, you know, whatever it was that caused those to take place. So we're going to go back, take a look at it, make sure we're coaching it better, make sure we're doing the right things and, you know, just can't have them. We know how dangerous they are and how, you know, detrimental those penalties are.
Trey Flowers, on the other hand, obviously has a big problem with this. And as you said, Fred, he is one of the least penalized people at his position. And to get penalized twice for that infraction, he's obviously pissed.
I didn't think hands to the chest was a penalty. I thought hands to the face, but I had him right here in the chest. Second time I changed it to right here. That's part of a move that I do.
So Cleet Blakeman came out, who is one of the refs. He goes, the umpire threw both of them. The last one was really the only one I've discussed with him. Basically, it's a legal use of the hands, hands to the face foul. To be a foul, we basically need some forceful contact that's prolonged to the head and neck area of the defender. So in his mind, he had him pinned back, it was prolonged, and that's what created the foul. And the question was, you said head or neck area? And Blakeman said, yes, head or neck area.
Right. I mean, how can you have a guy pinned? What you want to do is you want a brief contact and then to let them pull you over.
But it does seem, Fred, that the Lions get screwed by the refs almost more than any other team.
It just seems that Detroit is a nothing market to them, that they've been losing for so long that they have no desire to see them win. And so that they just, something happens. Maybe they think they'll get the least amount of heat if they screw the Lions. But obviously the NFL just doesn't care about that market or that team. They just don't care. And then on Monday Night Football, they're not afraid to do it. This is not close to what happened in the playoffs years ago, but which was fixed, and
they picked up the flag against Dallas, right?
And then didn't call holding when basically their entire offensive line was humping the Lions on the field. But there's something going on in the NFL where they just said, we don't want the Lions winning. They're a crappy organization that hasn't done anything, and no one's going to complain. This is all going to go away tomorrow. Let's have Green Bay win because we want Aaron Rodgers to move on. That's how it seems to me. And it is not right.
That loss could cost them a playoff spot.
Well, you know what?
Tight as that division is.
They have some tough games coming up.
Well, they lost to Kansas City because they fumbled on the one and it got returned for a touchdown. Ed, go ahead. Ed. E.
Hey. Sorry, man. We can't. You have to call back. Call back, man. Your phone's awful.
Bye.
Yeah, it's
all.
I do like what Phil has to say online too, because it really is.
Phil, go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hey.
So I don't really watch a whole lot of Monday Night Football just because I have to work pretty early usually on Tuesday, but I watched it last night, and I don't know, like, I just feel like I'm almost watching like if my local town put on like Monday Night Football and like found some of the broadcasters. Like, I don't mean to be mean. Like, I know they're trying to do a good job. But
how,
like,
dare you attack a multi-billion dollar corporation?
I don't know. Like, even the camera work and, like, I forget who the band that played last night, but it's just, like, it seemed like no one wanted to be there. Well, like, I don't know.
Well, every time they say the Genesis halftime show, I always get pissed off when they don't play That's All or I Can't Dance. I'm just always upset.
Those are the ones that you want.
Yeah, those are the first two songs that spring to mind when you think about the band.
What's better than That's All? That's All might be Genesis' best song.
I'm talking about the second choice, not the first one.
Well, I just that's the first one. I Can't Dance sucks.
Or maybe just get,
it's like 80th.
Maybe just get a couple guys that work on cars and Mike and put on the living years.
Well, that's a couple of mechanics out there. But the halftime show is always horribly awkward. And they've done it in black and white, except for last night for some weird reason they didn't. And it's like this fake crowd that doesn't seem like they really want to be there. There's only been one that was somewhat normal looking because they performed it at a live Blink-182 show and it was an actual concert. But like all the other ones, it's all these like fake fans and it looks horrible. There was one with Bush last year that was just really embarrassing to sit and watch.
I have it hard to believe that Bush wasn't on the top of everyone's mind.
Bush of all bands.
Yeah, the fact that they had a hit 20 years ago. All right, we'll be back, Rich. What were we talking about?
All right, let's finally get to this LeBron James stuff because it is worth dissecting like the Zapruder film.
All right, we will do that. Be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911.
Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sub. Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The NBA has always been a league that prides itself on its player and its coaches being able to speak out openly about political and societal affairs. I just wonder, after the events of this week and the fallout we've seen, whether you would both feel differently about speaking out in that way in future. It's a legitimate question. This is an event that's happened this week during the NBA. This particular question has not been answered. James.
Any other questions?
What could go wrong by censoring a question in a media poll during a controversial time? All right, Rich, what do you got?
Well, I mean, everything has been just batty. Who'd have thought that one tweet from one general manager from the Rockets would set off an international incident that could have millions upon millions of dollars at stake? Daryl Morey last week fired off a tweet supporting the people, the protesters in Hong Kong. And while that was going on, there were some games being played in China, and the people of China not very happy about all of it. And as you heard right there, that was a question being asked of Russell Westbrook and James Harden until the PR person stepped in. As a matter of fact, because it became such a mess, Adam Silver apparently flew over there to try to apologize and work things out. On top of that, though, he's kind of speaking out of both sides of his mouth by releasing a statement saying that we like that the people of the NBA are able to speak their minds. And for the last year and a half to 2 years, there's been a lot of people from the NBA, a lot of people praising the NBA for being the most proactive league and a league that lets their players say things that are political, and there's no punishment for any of that, as opposed to what was going on with the NFL. And then you got LeBron James. So yesterday, LeBron James finally felt that it was okay to speak on the China situation.
They censored him in China. Remember, he had a media availability over there that they canceled. So this was his first real opportunity to speak out where the NBA was not canceling his media availability.
Now, the one thing that we do know is that if things go backwards and the Chinese get pissed off, a lot of these guys will lose massive endorsements.
Yeah, especially guys like LeBron, who probably, you know, take hundreds of millions of dollars out of the Chinese market.
Mm-hmm. There will also be situations such as if you happen to be making a new movie, let's say, Space Jam 2, that you could lose a lot of the Chinese movie dollars that might end up going there.
Which a lot of movies are made now specifically to appeal to a Chinese audience.
That is true, but at least with LeBron James, we know we're probably going to get something that's not as much of a sellout type situation. After all, he is the kind of person that tweeted last year, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter."
Yes, that all doesn't cost him any money.
Well, so let's go to LeBron James yesterday being asked about the whole China situation.
And I have that.
You have it right there, Fred.
I do, but I had it ready to play tomatoes, so here we go.
I think when we all sit back and learn from the situation that happened, understand that what you could tweet or could say, and we all talk about this freedom of speech. Yes, we all do have freedom of speech, but at times there are ramifications for the negative that can happen. When you're not thinking about others and you're only thinking about yourself. So,
yeah, you have to think about the sponsorship of the NBA when you put out a tweet, the ramifications.
He's not thinking about others. Yeah, he's not thinking about us poor people are going to lose all this money. Instead, he's thinking about all the people who are living under oppression.
Yes, they're not thinking of how it's going to affect me in my new movie, Spajam, that I want everyone to see. I mean, he is dumb.
I mean, so dumb.
I mean, he really is dumb. I mean, he can make comments like, you know, hey, freedom and this and that. And that's, I mean, they're pretty obvious statements. But, I mean, this is just dumb. You sound like, you know, it affects people like, I don't know, billionaires.
I don't believe, I don't want to get into a word or sentence feud with Daryl.
What kind of feud do you want to get in? A rootin' tootin' feud? Like the Hatfields and the McCoys?
I want to get in a sentence feud. Yeah, it's a lot of words.
I don't want to get a word feud with him.
Right, adjective, adverb.
I want to start stealing his crops and his livestock. This is what happens when you read Twilight novels and consider yourself, you know, a Pulitzer winner.
This is my property, damn it.
Well, that's the other kind of feud. You steal livestock.
Or sentence feud with Daryl. With Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand, and he spoke. And
I think he nailed it perfectly, actually.
And you
I think he's
are?
Very much aware of what was going on.
So please, here would be the first question. LeBron, okay, then please educate us on what is the situation at hand.
I'm going to lose a lot of money.
I mean, this is just a guy.
No, he wasn't educated on how much money that LeBron stands to lose.
I mean, this is unbelievable.
Yeah. And he's saying it with that, like, false intelligence meter.
And so many people could have been harmed, not only financially, but physically, emotionally, spiritually.
Jesus!
He goes away for a while.
Everything going on with Hong Kong.
He goes away for a while. You know, LeBron opens his mouth and people get pissed off. And then about 6 months go by and you forget about why you were pissed in the first place. And then he steps forward and does it again. You're like, oh, that's right.
He's
I remember.
Pretty much said generic stuff like supporting people who took a knee and stuff like that. I mean, that's not in the scheme of things like overly controversial.
Right. Well, I mean, he's ripped into the president.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a guy,
in this day and age, that's not overly controversial. I mean, listen, God bless him. He can say whatever he wants to say. This is just stupid.
So just be careful what we tweet and we say and what we do, even though, yes, we do have freedom of speech, but there can be a lot of negative that comes with that, too.
Last question, please.
Do you believe that Daryl was ill-informed when he did that? Is it research?
That's just my belief. I don't know. That's my belief. That's all I can say. I believe he was either misinformed or not really educated on the situation. And if he was, then so be it. But I have no idea, but that's just my belief. Because just when you say things or do things, if you're doing it, and you know the people that can be affected by it, and the families and the individuals and everyone that can be affected by it, sometimes things can be changed as well. And also sometimes social media is not always the proper way to go about things as well. But that's just my belief.
I mean,
how was he wrong? Oh, it's just my belief.
And she asked the question. Thank goodness. There was someone there who said, well, how was he wrong? And he's like, well, it's my belief that he's wrong. Well, how? Well, it's what I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, you have no idea what you're talking about other than you found out that you're going to lose money.
Yes.
And on top of that, he ended up, because immediately... because I think he got up there thinking he was making this big statement, and then...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.